Okay. So today I'll just talk about a very important thing, you know, about you. Mike? Okay. Sorry. Okay, so today I'll talk about a very important thing, extremely important, about you, you know. Who are you? Or what are you? You know? Like, if you don't understand this point, I think, you know, more you study about Buddhism or anything, everything maybe look like as contradictory, you know? Like, yesterday, someone talk about judgmental, judgmental is not good. Yeah, but stop judging is also very not good, you know, of course, you know. So, stop being judgmental does not mean, oh, we should not judge, you know. Of course we should judge, you know, Like we should judge whom we can trust, whom we should never trust, you know. If we don't judge, it's almost suicidal, you know? Then, in one hand, we should judge, but in other hand, we should not be judgmental. So, of course, you know, superficially contradictory, you know? We should judge, we should not be judgmental, you know? Like that. Then, I think, you know, more you study or more you hear any teacher's instruction about all this meditation, you know, so should we judge or we should not judge, you know, something like that. I always like this, you know. So someone says, effortlessly. Then we should be lazy, you know. Then suddenly, you should do any kind of effort, you know. So we should do effort, or we should be effortless, you know. Which, you know, always like that, you know. And our teacher Kenzen Rinpoche, when I'm listening to his lecture, I'm always surprised, you know. He said A, and suddenly he said B, you know. and A and B, contradictory, you know. What, you know, like that. So, but if you don't understand the most important principle, maybe all these things are just contradictory, you know. And someone says, like, now I'm doing meditation every day, and my concentration is deepening. Oh, it's good. But then, what should we do? You know, in what direction I should go, or like that. So what is a meditation, first of all, you know? Why we should do meditation? Like that, you know. So then sometimes, you know, our thinking is just gone. We become just literally zero. I know, you know, some meditators has experience of this kind of things, you know. But then what does it mean, you know? And then of course suddenly again thinking are coming back, you know. So thinking or non-thinking, what does it mean, you know, like that. So anyway, in meditation, we experience many things, you know. But as long as I hear people talk about their experience, they experience such and such a thing, then, as a result, what does it mean for your life? You know? I don't hear anything like that, you know? Okay, so then, today I said, I will tell you the most important thing about your life, you know, about you, you know. I wrote one book last year, and I came to India, and I talked with you, or Indian people, South Indian people, and here, you know, and I got some idea. And this year, again, this summer, I wrote another book. Everything is in Japanese, you know. And now, in Japan, I'm talking about double structure, single structure and double structure, you know? What does that mean? You are double structured, everybody, you know? Not only Rinpoche or not like that, everybody, you know? So, of course, I have to explain about double structure, you know. But because people still think they are single structure, that's why all the confusion, all the contradictions, because of this. Even teacher and disciple relationship is always like that, you know, because we are single structure, you know. So, this morning we discuss about sacred and secular, and absolute and relative, you know. And Buddhism says the other shore, and you know, this shore, you know, the river, this shore and the other shore. Always like that, always dualistic, you know. Then, who am I? Yes, I am secular, you know, I am relative, I am standing on this shore, you know. Then my teacher is maybe, he is sacred, you know. He's standing on the other shore, you know, and he is absolute. Something like that. So we are different, you know. So that's why only one way is just respect him, or I devote myself to him, or something like that, you know. But it's not true. Everybody is double structured. Not only Rinpoche, not only His Holiness, or not only, you know, Ajahn Chah, or that kind of people. Everybody is double structured. It means we have both sides, secular and sacred, relative and absolute. And we stand on this shore, and at the same time, we are standing on the other shore. You know? Then point is a bridge between secular and sacred, bridge between relative and absolute, bridge between this shore and the other shore. Okay? Then this bridge is, yes, of course, mindfulness and compassion. So mindfulness and compassion are like these two are bridge. But at the same time, mindfulness, compassion belong to the other shore in absolute realm, in sacred realm. You know? So already we discussed, we tried to be mindful, but we found it's very difficult, almost impossible. You know? Why? Because we try to be mindful only on this shore. And then we found it's very difficult. Why? Because mindfulness, we are we are taught to be non-judgmental, far free from like and dislike. We have to accept as it is. We have to see, we have to recognize things as they are, without any prejudice or like that. You know? But to me, you, as a relative, as a secular, or a person on this shore, of course we are nothing but prejudice. We are nothing but like and dislike. We are nothing but judging. I like, dislike, I like, dislike. You know? Nothing but, you know, twisting. Everything twisting. You know, like that. That's why mindfulness demand completely opposite of who I am, who you are. That's why it was so difficult. But now, you know, mindfulness is a bridge between these two shores, two sides, this side and the other side. Okay? But at the same time, it means you are, I said, you are double structures. It means, in one sense, yes, we are living in this this shore, this relative world, secular world. You know? But at the same time, you are also living in the other side, sacred side, absolute side. You know? So, we discuss our ego and you. These are two different things. But until now, these two are almost same, you know? So, almost same. So, I am just my ego. And I have been living as an ego. And you also, you know, you have been living as just ego, you know. So that's why you and your ego and me and my ego are almost the same until now. But it does not mean these two are same. Absolutely not. Okay? So, but because ego is so sneaky, that's why our ego tell us, I am you. I am you. I am you. I am you. You know? You and me are same. You and me are same. You know? Then, of course, ego is nothing but like and dislike, judging. And ego loves negativities. Ego loves unhappiness. Ego loves misery. Ego loves like negative emotion, you know? And ego loves other people's unhappiness, you know? Other people's unhappiness. Oh, someone, such and such actress, and oh, they are divorced. Oh, good, 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 you know? Something like that. That's why, you know that, you know? So that's why all magazines and newspaper full of that kind of gossip, you know, like that. We don't like that kind of news about the sakura, just happy marriage, you know. We don't like it. But we love so much unhappy divorce, you know. So much, you know. Why? Because our ego loves negative things. And media people, they know it. They know it. That's why constantly they are spreading unhappy news, you know. You know, if you are famous, you will become victim of it, because people don't like you to be happy. People want you to be unhappy, and people try to find out your failure or like that, you know. Like that. So people don't like to hear you did a good job. people like to hear you failed, you failed, or such and such actress failed like this, or such an artist failed like this, or people love it. You know why? Because our ego loves negativities. Okay? So, then, okay, ego is like this. No? And yesterday we talked about our story. You know? Then, of course, it's obvious. You know? By making a story, or by telling a story, we try to recognize ourselves as an unhappy person. Unhappy person. You know? So, yes. Oh, okay. It's okay. Okay, story, you know, story. You know, yesterday we discussed, we are not living in the reality. We are living in the story. And usually this story is unhappy story. You know, unhappy story. Why? Again, ego. You know? Ego loves unhappiness. You know? That's why we have to prove I am very unhappy person. You know? Then we have to create unhappy story. You know? Like that. So, if you listen to other people's story, you know, they repeat again and again and again a happy story. Why? Maybe counselor or, you know, you wonder why this person repeats same story, you know, again and again and again. For what? Of course, only one reason. They want to prove that I am very unhappy. That's it. So, everything is ego's trick, you know. So, as long as you think you are your ego, and your ego tells you, of course, it's me. I am you. I am you, you know. So, as long as you are deceived by your ego's trick, then you have no hope. You have no hope. Why? Because your ego wanna be unhappy. In any situation, you know, even when you are staying in a 5-star hotel, you know, you still find the reason why I'm miserable, you know, in a very luxurious room, in very luxurious restaurant, you know. Why? Because ego loves unhappiness. That's why. Okay? But good news is, maybe it's bad news for your ego, you know. You are not your ego. That's it. Okay? Why? Because you are double structured. Double structured. Okay? So point is, we discuss, we have been living in a small house. And we know only this house. So it means we cannot imagine the outside of this house. You know? And then in this house, we know the reason of my unhappiness is I am too judgmental or like that, you know. Then I hear some like about mindfulness. The mindfulness soul sounds so nice. And we try to be mindful in this house, but we could not, you know. So, point is, you know, your double structures means you are living in this house, okay? But at the same time, your true self exists outside of this house. Outside of this house. So it means you are double structure. Then point is, until now, in spiritual traditions, yes, also they are talking about this true self or like that, which exists outside of this house, you know? But, point is, if we can really feel this true self, really, by ourselves, it's just a fantasy, you know, just a fantasy. Maybe sacred text says such and such. Maybe we believe it, but still we cannot experience this, you know. So many sacred texts are talking about this. But just still text, not experience. Okay? But good news is mindfulness and compassion. I think you know, only mindfulness is not enough. Mindfulness should be combined with compassion. You know, mindfulness and compassion. These two, we can really experience this one. You know, but for this, you need a very clear picture about yourself. You know, you are double structures. You are, in one sense, yes, ego, who has been living in this house for many, many years. You know? But at the same time, you are true self, which exists outside the house. Okay? Then, I said, mindfulness and compassion are bridge between these two. So by being mindful, by having compassion, we can jump from this miserable small ego to this true self. Why? Because only this true self can be mindful, can be compassionate. You know? Our small ego cannot be mindful, cannot have a compassion. If you do compassion meditation here, sounds so hypocritical or like that, you know, like that, as everyone experienced already, you know. Okay. But because people don't have a clear picture about these two double structure, that's why everybody's like idea about practice is just confused. Okay, so then from this point, let's try to answer to the questions about yesterday, you know? Judgmental and judging. Judging. Okay? What does it mean we should be non-judgmental? You know? So, okay, double structure means not single structure. It means we are always living as a double structure, not just one, you know. So non-judgmental means this true self. No, true self. True self is not non-judgmental. It's like a mirror. Mirror. You know? So this true self is recognizing this small house. What is going on in this house? You know? Clearly, as it is, non like and dislike. You know? Why? Because true self doesn't belong to this house, this small world. That's why this true self can be non-judgmental. You know? Non-judgmental means we don't belong to this world. And by being non-judgmental, we go to this true self position. You know? But at the same time, we are double structures. That's why we are still living in this world, in this small world, and we should live. And in this small world, we should judge. We should judge. This food is good. This food, no, it's not good. This person, I can trust. This person, I should never trust. You know? Like that. But if you confuse these two structures, two words, then should I be non-judgmental? Should I judge? Of course it's confusion, you know? Okay? Like a... But if we can clearly differentiate these two structures, then non-judgmental, but at the same time we should judge. No contradiction. No contradiction. Okay? Then, how about non-thinking? Non-thinking. You know? Sometimes in meditation, we reach the state of non-thinking. You know, by accident or by effort or like that. But non-thinking is not enough. You know? Of course this true self has no thinking. Because all the thinking belongs to this small world. You know? All the thinking belong to this world. Then when such kind of thinking stops, then we again reach this true self state. But the point is, this true self state is not just not unconscious, not unconscious. It has very clear consciousness. Consciousness. You know? Like, you know, Mahaprajna Paramita's Heart Sutra. You know, who is the main character? Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. You know, Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. Do you know the meaning of Avalokiteshvara? It's a master of, like, observing. Master of observing freely. You know? What does it mean? This true self is not unconscious. No, I have no idea. Not like that. It has a very clear consciousness. It can observe everything, but as it is. Why? Because it doesn't belong to this world. You know, as long as we live in this small world, we cannot observe objectively. You know, we are full of prejudices of like and dislike, completely different from Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva's way. Okay? So, that's why this true self has no thinking, but has a very clear consciousness, clear awareness. Recognize everything as it is, but not thinking. Okay? So then, someone says, by practicing meditation every day, my mind becomes very stable. What does it mean? Stable means the mind in this small world becomes quiet. No. That kind of quietness is immediately disrupted. You know? We know it. Sometimes very active and sometimes quiet. Sometimes active, quiet, like that. It's endless. But yes, of course, you know, in meditation, we experience an absolute quietness. Absolute quietness. Something changed. It's not just my thinking is calming down. My thinking is calming down, then enter into different dimension, you know? I think many people already experience it. By observing breathing, yes, I can observe breathing as it is. No? Yes, I know I'm breathing in, I know I'm breathing out. My mind doesn't go anywhere else. Then suddenly something will happen. I have been staying in this room and I'm watching my breath. My mind doesn't go anywhere. I know I am breathing in. I know I am breathing out. Then suddenly something changed and I'm entering into different room. Maybe some of you already know it. But maybe you didn't know where I entered. Like that. So, yes, you entered into this true self realm. You know? So, because this explanation is not so clear until now, that's why we are so confused, judgmental, but we should judge, non-thinking, what does it mean? And by training, my mind is calm, what does it mean? Like that. And or mindfulness, compassion, what does it mean? But if you know, introduce this idea, double structures, then we can explain everything. And it's extremely helpful for our practice, you know? Because now we don't do it anymore. We try to be mindful in this small house. It's impossible. We try to have compassion in this house. No, it's impossible. But by being mindful, by having compassion, the purpose is now very clear. You know? We try to jump to from this shore to the other shore. But the other shore is not foreign country. But actually your home country. Your home country. You know? Until now, we think this small house is only my country, you know? Only my world. We have no idea. So, by practicing, maybe one day in the future I can go somewhere. It's not like that. Well, some teachers, oh, you are very, you know, your mind is very dirty, you know. That's why you have to wash, clean your mind, you know. So when you finish cleaning up your mind, then you can go somewhere else. It's not like that. Please understand. No. Why? Because your home country is actually the other shore. So over there, your mind is just pure. No dust. There's no dust. That's why especially Mahayana teachers, they said, no, you don't have to purify your mind. Why? Because your mind is far from like a dust. You know? If our mind is just full of dust, then we have to clean, or like that, you know? But our mind is not like that. Our mind doesn't attract any dust. You know? That's why we don't have to cleaning that dust from our mind. Okay? So, your mind is just pure. Why? Because your mind exists only in this true self realm. But of course, you know, you are this small mind is full of negative emotion, you know. Negative emotion. Anger, jealousy, attachment or everything like here. And we love to be unhappy. Okay? So point is, we really have to have a very clear picture or understanding about who we are. You know? Then, only then, we can understand everything about mindfulness, compassion, and meditation, or like that. No? Like Mahaprajnaparamita Sutra says, you know, Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva is doing, practicing deep Prajnaparamita. You know, it means, Prajna means wisdom. So wisdom of the other shore. You know? Then Avalokiteshvara clearly sees, you know, like in this small world, people, human beings, was just born, and later we are becoming old, and we are becoming sick, and one day we have to die. You know, birth, old age, sickness and death, this four, you know? Of course, it's a symbol of our suffering. No one can avoid them. So, but point is, these four, birth, old age, sickness, and death, exists only in this small world. And Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva sees no birth, no old age, no sickness, no death in this true self, true self's realm. Okay? So, Buddhism is not like, there is birth, old age, sickness and death, or suffering, you know. Oh, that's why we have to do something. It's not like that, you know. Yes, of course, this world is full of suffering. Full of suffering. And there is no escape, you know. But good news is you have a totally different home country. Different home country. You know? So in your home country, there is no birth, there's no old age, there's no sickness, there's no death. You know? So now I'm working in Japan. I'm working with people who are working in like medical area, and especially social welfare area, like old people's house or like that. Why? Because they have to deal with old age and death. And sickness and death. They're constantly exposed to it. So, unless they know this true self realm, in which there is no birth, no old age, no sickness, no death, it's too much, too much. You know? So, of course, not only these professional people, everyone is suffering from this. We ourselves, and usually our parents, you know, our parents are older. My mom is 95, you know, 95, you know. She's relatively okay, you know, but of course soon she will suffer from sickness like that, you know. So, but if we know this, no problem. And like 4 years ago, my father passed away. No? And of course it was very shocking. And I was not there when he died. He died in an old age people's house. And then I went to see his dead body next day. But I didn't feel any sadness, actually. Why? Because my father did not die. Yes, of course he died. From the doctor's point of view, yes, he died. But, and I saw his body, and his heart already stopped beating. But it does not mean he died. You know? So he, in this small world, died. Yes, it's true. But my father is not only just like that. My father belongs to true self-realm also. And ironically, by when this body stops, at that time we can clearly see this true self-realm. So that's why when I saw my father's dead body, I could clearly see my father's deathlessness. Why? My father belonged to this one. So this is not theory. Actually, I experienced it. You know? So, if you yourself practice this double structure by yourself. Then little by little you will understand these two realms. Then you can deal with any kind of unhappiness, misery in this small world. Why? Because this world is not all. You know? In this world, yes, obviously there's birth, old age, sickness, and death. It's obvious. You know? But at the same time, in this true self realm, there's no birth, there's no old age, there's no sickness, there's no death. Absolutely no. This is what Prajnaparamita has would try to tell us. Then, who is the main character of Heart Sutra? It's Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. It means a master of recognizing, observing things as it is. You know? Like that. So, by practicing mindfulness and compassion, we can really enter into this kind of realm. You know, this is the purpose of our meditation. You know? Okay, we still have 10 minutes. I will accept any question.
My question is that...
When
you say that this non-thinking, when we enter into non-thinking form of compassion, then don't you think it's the mind which says non-thinking? Because there is no other faculty which tells what is what. Because human beings are only mind to which they can say something. So how can one say then, even if you go to the stage of non-thinking, or true self, don't you think it's the mind which says this true self or non-thinking?
Okay, so in this small world, who am I? You know, I consist of two elements. Of course, one is this body, this physical body, and then, and mind. Mind means thinking and emotion, both, you know. Thinking and emotion is like a transparent body, we can see it, you know. That's why in Buddhism, this is like a nama and this is rupa. Nama, rupa, you know, in Pali. Pali texts tell like this, you know. So it means mental phenomena and physical phenomena, you know. Then people think mind, you know, just thinking like that, you know. So, then as long as we keep this idea, everything is just a world of thinking, you know. So, but the point is, true self doesn't belong to this mind. No, absolutely not. So, in this small world, we are just a mind and body. Mind and body. And we think we are recognize everything with this mind. You know? But this is the idea of this small world. You know, the point is, there is something which beyond our mind. You know, which beyond our mind. You know, then something which beyond our mind can recognize these two realms, true self realm and small world, like that. Well, I know it's very difficult to accept it. So for the people who think only this small world exists, maybe cannot accept it, you know, it's impossible. But by practicing mindfulness and compassion or anapanasati or like that, like that, like that, like that, like that, then little by little we feel something different exists. Something different means like a different dimension, like that. So even when we like anapanasati develops very well, you know, then we can observe our breath, in-breath, out-breath very well. Then our mind is becoming very quiet, 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 quiet. Then suddenly we feel, oh, some dimension changed. Dimension changed. What happened to me? What happened to me? You know, usually we don't understand. And we say, oh, my concentration become deep. No, absolutely no. It's not just that concentration becomes deeper, deeper, deeper. It's not like that. Yes, of course your concentration becomes deeper and deeper, but not only like that, but actually when your concentration becomes deeper, you can enter into the totally different realm. And you know it. You can experience it. I think some of you already have experienced it. And maybe not totally, but maybe just a little bit. You know? Because, why? Because otherwise, your understanding of meditation is very, very limited. You know? Like, yes, my mind is usually monkey mind. And by training, my monkey becomes quiet. It's not like that, you know? It's meaningless to train monkey, you know? No, point is, yes, you have a monkey mind. It's true. But point is, you are not just a monkey. You are not just a monkey. You are something else. Okay? So, because you are something else, that's why you can observe your breath. You, as a monkey mind, can never meditate. You, as a monkey mind, can never observe in-breath, out-breath. It's impossible. Monkey can stay at one place only 1 second, you know? No more 2 seconds, you know? That's why it's impossible. But you, not as a monkey, you, as a true self, can observe breathing constantly. I know I am breathing in, I know I am breathing out, constantly. Then, you enter into a different realm. Why? Because this true self, only this true self can observe things as they are. You know? And like, you know, Vajrayana people, you know, they do very, very special practice, as you know. You know, they said, just imagine you are like a, such and such a bodhisattva, you know, like that, you know. but I am, you know, I'm just a human being. I'm not just like this, you know. Well, why? Because their purpose is very clear, you know. We have very strong, very like an obsessed idea about who I am. So to break this idea, sometimes we need that kind of practice, you know. But I'm not practicing Vajrayana, you know. But by practicing mindfulness or like that, we can really go to this true self, you know. Then only there we can have a compassion, you know. So returning to his question, we have a body and mind, that's it, is an idea of this small world. And the consciousness, awareness of this true self doesn't belong to this mind. It's more than that. So, but as long as your mind thinks, of course you can't understand. That's why we need meditation. So without meditation, if we just read, analyze Buddhist texts, then this analysis is very weird, you know. But if you practice, then you can understand, like even Mahaprajnaparamita Heart Sutra, you know. We don't need any weird interpretation, like a very twisted like this. No, we don't need it. We can clearly say, Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva is just watching things from this point of view. That's why in this world, no birth, no old age, no sickness, no death. Yeah, it's true. You know, like that. So at that time, we are free from any kind of suffering, as Heart Sutra says. And it says, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. No? What does it mean? We are double structure. That's why we have form in this small world. But we are emptiness in this true self. So we are double structure. That's why in one sense we are form, but another sense we are emptiness. We are emptiness, but at the same time form. We are form, at the same time emptiness. That's it. Nothing else. Then we can understand Heart Sutra completely. Very clearly. Yes?
Is the concept of true self against what we also learn as no self in Buddha's teaching?
Mm-hmm.
Are they contradicting?
No, absolutely not. No self means, you know, this Buddha says that in this small world, you know, in this small world, there's no substance like a self. You know? So this true self, if you imagine self like something which you can grasp, then maybe contradictory with this no-self idea. But as I said, this is absolutely emptiness. Absolute emptiness. You know? So that's why there's nothing to grasp. You know? So So, unless we experience this, maybe we just imagine something like a true self, something like a true self. Then, of course, as you said, you know, maybe it's contradictory with this Buddha said, no self, of course, you know. Okay? But that's why we have to practice and experience it, you know. So, if we experience it, there's just absolute emptiness. Emptiness, but we have very clear awareness, that's it. And this awareness, nothing with this mind activities. You know, so that's why in Vipassana, we analyze our body and mind. You know, and we, body and mind and mental factors, and actually I practice in Myanmar, you know. But finally, all these mental factors are gone, and finally, we just, our mental activity stops, you know. But we recognize all these things. Why? Because we are not just a mind. We are something else. That's why. Okay? But something else does not mean like a self which Buddha negate. It's not like that. Buddha says no self means like in this small world, okay, it's me, my ego, you know? But this ego is empty. It's the meaning of no self. You understand? Then no contradiction. Okay, it's okay, let's continue. Okay? Okay,
Where do intuitions come from? Where do intuitions come from?
Intuition. Of course, intuition. If it's true intuition, it should come from here. But we cannot say all intuition come from here, you know, because maybe it's just you are thinking, you know. Basically, because, you know, like, now I'm using the word story, but I used the word movies, you know, and people are just watching movie, and usually unhappy movie. But if this is unhappy movie, this is a happy movie, then no problem. But unfortunately, usually we are creating unhappy
movie. It's still a movie.
That's it. I think that's it. It's an answer. Yes. Yeah. Still movie. You know. So, because it's still relative happiness, you know, then absolute happiness exists. Okay, so let's continue to tomorrow. Okay.